Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Democrats say they could support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts. Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice Florida education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed at WBOB.com.
Coming up in a few moments, we still got our trivia out there at 222-TALK, 222-8255. Again, email address ed at WBOB.com. Hour number three, as we continue to move along, Ed Dean, along with Roger Henderson. So let's get to, before we get to our good friend Alec Averas, very well-known radio talk show host here in Florida and media expert, the House Committee, Intelligence Committee, came out on Monday of this past week, says, hey, listen, we've done a 14-month investigation. There has been no Russia collusion, but they even go further. They say there is no Russia collusion even on both sides with the Trump campaign and the Hillary Clinton campaign. Here was Texas Congressman Mike Conaway from the House Intelligence Committee.
Odds are that we've reached that point where we've interviewed all the folks we need to. We've looked at some 300,000 documents, 73 interviews that we've done across the course of the state, trying to answer the four questions that were originally set out for the committee to answer. Yes, the Russians tried to interfere with our election process. Yes, they had cyber attacks, active measures going on. We could find no evidence of collusion between either campaign and the Russians.
No collusion between not only the Trump campaign, Alec Averas, who's on our newsmaker line, but no collusion even on the Hillary Clinton campaign. Some would say, ooh, wait a second. We thought there was some collusion on the left with the dossier being funded by the Clinton campaign, paid for, and the investigation with the Russians here, Alan.
Yeah, I don't know that I'd be really convinced of anything until they finish an investigation of the Clinton Foundation. As a matter of fact, I'm kind of surprised they didn't start there. But, you know, nonetheless, you know, I believe they would find the same things that are inconclusive. I'm not saying what the Democrats are going to come up with. I'm sure they're going to come up with their own list, and it'll include far more egregious offenses and probably more recommendations. I was looking at some of the initial recommendations. I mean, out of the five recommendations, I've been looking at election security, including protecting vote tallies, support to European allies. I wonder if that means Israel, like when Obama sent over his henchmen to mess around with Netanyahu's election. U.S. government response to cyber attacks should be improved, campaign finance transparency, and counterintelligence practices related to political campaigns and unauthorized disclosures. Well, I wonder if that, of all the leaks. I'm looking at the entire thing, and the conclusion is basically nothing that I think most people didn't think were going to come out of this committee. And likewise, I believe everybody will look at the whatever comes out of the Republicans, which I'm almost out of the Democrats, which I'm sure are going to be, you know, for the most part, converse to this, except there will be no collusion.
How is it that you've got all this information on both sides? And I know this is almost a ridiculous rhetorical question, but as a journalist, how is it you've got the same piece of information in front of you and you can come up with two different conclusions between the Democrat side and the Republican side about whether or not, as of yet, there's any type of evidence of Trump-Russia collusion?
Well, you know, everybody kind of looks to validate their initial ideas and suspicions. And I think that kind of pretty much is following down to the investigations as well. I don't think it's really going to matter what anybody says. So far as these recommendations and conclusions that came out of this committee, I think everybody's going to just be looking to see what the big guy says when they're finished with their entire investigation. You know, and it'll be interesting to see what everybody says if they come up with the same conclusion, that there was no Russian collusion. I don't know how the Democrats and those people that are doing their own analyzation are going to come up with something that's different. And again, I think that for the most part, everybody thinks that they are there to validate their own party's conclusions.
Out of the state of Florida, very well-known media expert, also radio talk show host Alan Gaveris, here on our Newsmaker line. Nobody, it seems, whether it's from the left that doesn't like Fox or talk radio, those on the right don't like MSNBC, don't like CNN, and maybe even they complain because Fox may have too many Democrat Fox News contributors. But the turning around of the marketing push for organizations of news outlets out there are changing. Fox News is already launching a new ad campaign. It's no longer, it seems to be the fair and balanced. It's now real news, real opinion. And now CNN has begun its, which they did back last October, called Facts First, if you even buy into that. Are numbers going down for news organizations, or why all this repackaging?
You know, I've been looking at the entire situation so far as Fox News saying they want to start touting real news, you know, as opposed to fake news. I'm not sure where Fox is really going with this. I was just looking at the numbers coming out of Fox, and, you know, Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson finished the month with the top two cable shows in both viewers and amongst the 24 to 54. I think out of the top 12 cable news shows, Fox had 10 of them. I'm not sure where Fox is going with this. You know, unless they just think that this is a good idea. Say, okay, you know, we know that everybody thinks that they're fighting against fake news, and this is their idea to try to say, you know, we're going to go full throat against fake news and say we are now going to be real news. But, you know, again, the numbers coming out of Fox as far as viewership, both overall and within the demographic, are staggering. I'm not sure where exactly they can go. Maybe pick up one spot.
One of the other big news stories out there, of course, is pretty much that, and this was another, I wanted to bring this up. We've been talking about this for maybe like the last hour, but there's a news article that came out from thenation.com. I want to put you on the spot because we're getting some feedback on this story. From thenation.com, there's a story out there that where they are, along with like Chris Hayes from MSNBC, are advocating that maybe the ICE Immigration Customs Enforcement should be abolished. Listen to this clip from Fox News.
The left-leaning publication The Nation making a bold statement by publishing this headline a couple of days ago. It's time to abolish ICE. MSNBC host Chris Hayes tweeting out the article, writing, "This is a growing position on the left, and I imagine 2020 Democratic presidential aspirants will have to grapple with it." So is this really what Democrats should run on in 2020?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, there are those on the let's be fair here, Alan. There are those on the Republican aisle that would sit back and say, okay, this government entity is not working. The question is do you fix it? Do you abolish it? Like some proclaim that needs to be happened with the IRS. If the immigration system is broken, is that a valid excuse by Democrats, as they just said on MSNBC and The Nation, about telling the 2020 potential presidential candidates maybe abolishing ICE Immigration Customs and Enforcement might be the right way to go?
Yeah, well, that's kind of like saying the right way to go would be to, you know, eliminate the Constitution so far as immigration is concerned. I'm not sure that that's going to really carry a lot of water a whole lot of ways. It's almost like saying, you know, well, now that Jeff Sessions is suing California for their sanctuary city and sanctuary state policies, that if you get rid of all the policies, everything is going to be fine. You know, it's an angle. I don't think they're going to be able to run with it very far, because I don't believe a lot of people out there are really convinced that getting rid of ICE is the answer to the immigration problem. You know, I mean, that's kind of, let's just get rid of poverty and then get rid of the Treasury Department.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, is not the left taking a page out of the Republicans' hand guide playbook here? And there are a lot of Republicans that sit back and say, if a government function is not properly working, instead of propping it up with more money, let's get rid of it or heavily cut it. That's, I mean, let's be honest, that's been a typical mantra by the Republicans. Are not the Democrats taking a page out of this? Or some would say, which many have been emailing today, have sat back and said that, nope, they just want open borders. That's the reason why they don't support immigration, customs, and enforcement.
Yeah, well, I believe that's the bottom line to all of it. You know, it's kind of like getting, you know, you know, a foot in the game and saying, you know, I want to be able to run the quarter mile. Just to say that we're going to get rid of ICE and all of a sudden all of our immigrants, that's kind of like saying, let's get rid of the police so we won't have any crime anymore. I mean, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Why don't they try that out in Chicago, see how that works out?
Yeah, and by the way, I always thought the CNN, facts first. I think that might be an oxymoron. That's their new slogan.
Yeah, I'm not sure about these slogans. I'm not sure how far they're going to go and how really big these campaigns are going to be. You know, CNN is fighting Donald Trump for all intents and purposes almost on a daily basis. So there almost isn't a reporter out of CNN that doesn't get ostracized at least once a day.
Yeah. By the way, By the way, when it comes to real opinion, save that for the nighttime television. During the day, I just like to hear both sides.
Yeah, I think that. You know, I think that, you know, there's news and there's opinion, and I think before everybody kind of started ripping things apart, changing their marketing plans, they should just basically decide amongst themselves what is news and what is opinion, and that might settle a whole lot of it.
All right. Radio talk show host, very well-known media expert here out of Florida, Alan Kavaris. Good to talk to you today.
Good to be with you, Ed.
All right. 222-TALK, 222-8255, our trivia question, one of this hour. Bill Clinton signed the welfare, end it as we know it, back in 1996. But how many times did it happen before he signed it into law? 222-TALK, 222-8255. Get that correct, and you could win Ed Dean's money. All coming your way right here, 14 minutes after the hour. Talk radio WBOB.
If you're at 995 South at Emerson, there's a lot of delay there because of an accident on the right, 295 North before Pritchard. Another crash this morning. Traffic brought to you this morning by Snyder Heating. Sunny today with a high of 64 degrees. This evening clear with a low of 42, and right now it's 43 here at WBOB.
Back to the Ed Dean Radio Show. Gallagher next, Prager at noon, Savage at 3, Levin at 6. Talk radio WBOB.
Here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Democrats say they could support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts. Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
Let's go to Chris. Chris, good morning. You're on WBOB. How are you? Hey, hold on. Wait, you want to hear the conversation?
Yeah, we could do that if you want.
It's making me nervous here a little bit.
Wait, I'm like, no, hold on. I'm like wiretapping here. Hey, Chris.
Okay. Oh, that's right. No, it's put on top of this.
I better stop. I don't want to get in trouble here. 222-TALK, 222-8255. I think they want to answer the trivia. The Bill Clinton, how many times did it take before he signed the welfare bill into law? How many times was it brought up? You can get that answer correct. You can win Ed Dean's money at 222-TALK, 222-8255. As Roger Henderson's been reporting here, that at 17 minutes after the hour, the Democrats say, Roger, hey, we're all in favor of public works programs. I mean, that's their big thing because, you know, it kind of started with a little bit with Truman, but also with Eisenhower in the 50s. That we need, in order to turn the economy around, as we saw with Obama, things need to be done where we can have, instead of more private sector, more government sector, And the president comes out and says, hey, I want to spend $1.5 trillion on infrastructure programs. The Democrats have now come out this past week and say, yeah, we can get behind the president. Oh, well, there's a caveat to this, Roger. If we repeal the Trump tax cuts, then we can get behind and support this.
Do they? It's amazing.
Yeah, but what about the case they also combine and say, what we need to do is raise the gasoline tax. Gasoline tax, which we've been reported, AAA of Florida came out this past week and said that even here in the state of Florida, with springtime right around the corner, gasoline prices could be at $2.70 per gallon. If there is a chance of raising the gasoline tax here in the state of Florida, also by federal officials, have we missed our opportunity? That, of course, was asked by the host of CNBC, and the question was being answered by Robert Sinclair of AAA.
AAA for a long time has been an advocate of raising the gas tax because it's something that we need for infrastructure, for roads, for bridges, for building on all these issues. Did you miss your window if gas prices are going up right now?
Yeah, perhaps it's unfortunate because when they were low, an extra 2, 3, 4 cents a gallon wouldn't have been that big a deal. And now that prices are going back up, it would be harder to absorb for the general public. And we've been in favor of proposals that would raise the gas tax 2 to 5 cents per gallon.
Even, do you know that even the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has come out along with other groups that, like President Trump, they say, hey, we support raising the gasoline tax. The argument that they're saying now, and by the way, before I ask the question, Roger, then, okay, if it's 270 is too high to raise the gasoline tax, then tell me what would be low enough to raise the gasoline tax. In other words, what should it be at per gallon? Now, I'm not putting you on the spot. I mean, should it be at 225? Should it be at 210? Should it be at $2? Should it be at $2 a gallon?
Raise the gas tax, right, which has not been raised in 25 years. Everything in America has gone up. The gas tax hasn't.
That's former Secretary of Transportation underneath W and Barack Obama. That's Republican Ray LaHood. But what he doesn't tell you is that the federal gasoline tax has not been raised for 25 years, but your local gasoline taxes normally are going up every other few years, Roger.
Right. And what ends up happening is that when there are federal cuts, in other words, the states aren't getting as much money as they used to get from Washington, they've got to raise their own money. So it's basically, you know, which pot?
Local municipalities.
Yeah.
And again, here's another interesting question. You've got the property appraiser in many municipalities and counties here in Florida come out every year, readjustment of property values. They're still going up high right now, 4 to 5%, which means the school board gets more money, the local city of Jacksonville gets more money, and then the other surrounding areas, the county commission gets thousands into the millions of dollars. And yet it's never enough money, so they have to continue to raise the gasoline tax, which is capped, by the way, at 12 cents, and they want to continue to raise more money. And here's another interesting question. Is that the president's plan is $1.4 trillion for infrastructure spending over 10 years. But if you raise the gasoline tax, it only covers about maybe $400 billion. You got to make up that money somewhere else. So to you listening this morning, when you hear a local elected official, whether it's a member of the city council in Jacksonville or county commissions in St. John's, Volusia or Putnam or even in Clay County, when they hear raising the gasoline tax to fix the roads, what is the question you ask them? Or what is the question that you haven't asked them of what have you done with the money previously on that?
Yeah, I think our taxation system is needlessly complicated from different taxes, from different sources. The American people pay a lot of money in taxes from different ways, whether it's gas, income, property. I mean, can we simplify things is my question.
Yeah, and it's never enough money. Let me ask another question. Maybe we should ask our elected leaders on both sides. For example, and by the way, this is in many Republican counties. I mean, you know, some would say Democrat counties always raising taxes. No, a lot of Republican counties as well, Roger, where you need to raise, let's say, for an infrastructure school spending program. But we have to fix the buildings. I mean, because they haven't really kept up with them, they say. So let's say that we have to take care of the infrastructure plan, and we want to raise $700 million, hypothetically, over the next 5 to 8 years. So we're going to raise a one or a half penny sales tax or a full penny sales tax. But yet when you look at the numbers, they say, well, it only would raise about $400 million. Well, why would you only raise money that will only cover half of that? Just tell me, how much money do you need for the whole thing? How much money do you need for example, in Duval County or in other surrounding areas? How much money do you need for infrastructure programs? Just tell us what the amount is, and let's just raise it on everybody and get it done, and we could just later reduce it. There's also what they've asked a question is the local option gas tax. When have you ever seen that been rescinded?
Yeah, and these taxes, these special temporary taxes, they tend to last forever. You know, when they're set to expire, let's extend them.
The liberal left has said that there is an hypocrisy, Roger Henderson, by evangelical Christians out there, because President Trump has not been forthright. This is according to Juan Williams of Fox News. There was an article that came out because of what may have happened over a dozen years ago, because this has been in the news about the former retired adult actress porn star of Stormy Daniels, that there's an hypocrisy from evangelicals because they have not criticized President Trump of something that is, again, let me emphasize, happened 12 years ago. Has and is there hypocrisy from evangelicals? Robert Jeffries from the First Baptist Church, who is a friend of President Trump, says no, there is no hypocrisy when it comes to this issue.
It's absolutely ludicrous. Look, evangelicals know they're not compromising their beliefs in order to support this great president. Evangelicals knew they weren't voting for an altar boy when they voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
We supported him because of his policies and his strong leadership. You know, I'm asked the question, what would it take for evangelicals to walk away from President Trump? I think his policy changes, or if he were found to be in an adulterous relationship now, that would cause many people a problem.
Valid point. I mean, if he was in an adulterous relationship now, rightfully so. But as Jeffries has said and pointed out, even other circuits of President Trump, now he's denied this whole situation. But it happened. Let me ask the question. It happened 12 years ago. If he's faithful to his wife now, why should it matter? And why would you call evangelical? I mean, is there a proper argument on both sides to call them hypocrites on this issue?
You know what? You know, I have a big question mark with that, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's a good thing that people can put their past in the past and go on. And, of course, you know, no one's perfect. We've made mistakes. And go on with your life on the right track. However, my only concern is, would we hold a Democrat to the same exact standard?
What about Bill Clinton? There's your Democrat.
Well, there were a lot of people complaining about things that had gone on years and years ago with Bill Clinton, but, you know, that looked like a continued pattern that was continuing.
Was Barack Obama ever accused of messing around on his wife? Never saw that.
Never was. However, and I do know these are probably some French people that were saying some things that the media is not reporting that Barack Obama did this, that, and the other 10, 12 years ago. But
no, but here's the thing, that is the Robert Jeffries. It probably has, some would say, some of you have been emailing, has a very valid point. If this happened 12, 13 years ago, he's repented, he's admitted it, mm-hmm. But then some would say, well, he never admitted it. I don't know why this is even an issue now, but then again, there's such an attack on evangelicals that sometimes it makes you wonder if this is just an excuse for the left to make another attack on evangelicals.
Yeah, and it concerns me that if evangelicals are losing credibility at all, that's a personal concern of mine.
26 minutes after the hour, this is Talk Radio WBOB.
And on our roads at 295 going south at Pritchard Road, we're looking at an accident. We're also seeing on the traffic cams a traffic building on I-10 as you make your way into town. Sunny today, our high will be 64 degrees. This evening clear with a low of 42, and right now it is 43 at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
All right, so we got a few trivia questions out there. Some of you have been emailing me. No, we take the calls on the trivia. So here's two big trivia questions. The Dodd-Frank, which they call the Wall Street Reform Act, pretty much led to a certain agency to oversee, and this was pretty much created underneath the Obama administration. And it's been getting a lot of criticism over the last several years. What is the name of the agency that oversees the Dodd-Frank rules and regulations that make sure that banks abide by that? What is the name of that agency? And also, Bill Clinton, after how many times signed the welfare reform bill into law? 222-TALK, 222-8255. So there are two separate questions that require two separate answers. You don't have to give them to me both. So again, give me the name of the agency that oversees when it comes to the Dodd-Frank rules and regulations. 222-TALK, 222-8255, and you can win Ed Dean's money. The Public School Education Association here in the state of Florida is throwing Governor Rick Scott under the bus because the bill that he signed into law does not force private schools to hire teachers with college degrees. Is that a prerequisite if you want to be able to teach in a school? Want to know what you think? 222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
And 101.1 FM, Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida teachers' unions still upset a school choice education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers without degrees. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republicans' investigation concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Democrats say they would support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
All right, don't forget to download the app, WBOB.com, WBOB.com. Put it on your smartphones. It is free. We all like free stuff. Hey, I'm Scottish. I love free stuff. So definitely download the app. You can catch any part of this show or any other shows throughout the day right here. Again, WBOB.com. Let's go to Annie. Annie, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yes, the name of the agency is the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Let me look this up here. Hold on. I was looking at something here. I just had it. Give me the name of it one more time.
The CFPB, Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Yeah, that's a correct term. That has been the one that was used to oversee. It's been a horrible bureau. And some would say it doesn't really have to. It's been more regulation on that area. But, Andy, you are correct. Andy, if you stay on hold, we'll get to Roger. Take your name and information and win Ed Dean's money. All right. Go ahead and put it on hold, Roger. Let's go to Hank. Hank, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Hey, good morning, Ed. I was going to make a different pick for that, but never mind. But I was going to also mention about the Christians and stuff embracing Trump. And I think the bigger question is, why do Democrats have such inability to accept Christians into their political platform? You know, there's such contempt for Christians when it comes to them. They don't seem, you know, when it, I think it was in 2008 or 2012, it took them three tries to even to pray over the opening of the convention, you know, and everybody, you know, a large percentage of their candidates and stuff like that have a lot of contempt for Christians, even though they praise them when they come to illegal aliens and stuff like that, like washing their feet when it comes to Nancy
Pelosi. Well, you know, you bring an interesting point. I think on the surface, is it a valid question by Juan Williams to say, now follow me here because there's a two-parter here. Is it a valid question? Are evangelicals a bunch of hypocrites on the issue of Trump and illicit affairs? And, okay, fine, ask the question. And here's the valid answer. You know what? If he did this 12, 13 years ago and he hasn't admitted it, by all means. But, you know, the answer by Robert Jeffries, some would say it's also very valid that, listen, if he's not messing around, he's repented, he's been true and faithful, he's not doing this in the White House like Bill Clinton did, I think that would, some would say that would be the right answer as well.
Yeah, I would agree, because I think the biggest thing that Christians are their biggest platform is forgiveness. That's what they're supposed to be for, is, you know, to give a, you know, this people's sins and stuff. So, whereas the Democrats just look for contempt on every turn of the page when it comes to Christians, the way
yeah.
I see them.
Yeah, that is good to chat with you. 222-TALK, 222-8255. There were a big election tonight in Pennsylvania. Midterms, things of that nature. The conservative Republican is running, some would say, against a conservative Democrat who has not supported Nancy Pelosi. By the way, this is an area that Donald Trump won by 20 points, but it has about a percent to 2% more Democrats than Republicans. A lot of districts that are like that. One of the issues that's come up is about the issue of abortion. And, of course, this is, now you would think this would be an issue among certain of those in a Democrat or Republican primary as well. Tucker Carlson tonight says that this has been an issue that's come up in front of the campaign. And one of the questions also has come up, if Republicans control the House, they control the Senate, why haven't they properly defunded one of those groups that gets taxpayers' money, Planned Parenthood?
Congressional Republicans have repeatedly promised to defund Planned Parenthood. That hasn't happened or even come close to happening. Even now, the country's biggest abortion provider gets more than $500 million taxpayer dollars every year. Huh. Would Democrats be okay if the NRA got $500 million a year? Would they let that stand?
That's a great question. Can you imagine the National Rifle Association advocating on gun safety?
Yeah.
Got $500 million a year, but Planned Parenthood gets the money.
Yeah, they're defending the Constitution,
now,
the Second Amendment.
That's right. Now, the question has properly been asked, okay, the Republicans run everything. Why haven't they properly or just defund Planned Parenthood, or maybe that of the areas of, some would say, of public broadcasting? Congresswoman Diane Black says that's a great question to be asked over in the Republican Senate.
Twice now, with my leadership, we have passed in 2015 and in 2017 a measure in the House, sent it over to the Senate, and they have not done the work. I will challenge anybody that's watching this show that's pro-life to call your senator and ask them where do they stand on this issue, because we have done our work in the House. They need to do their work in the Senate. Well, they shouldn't even be using their money for that, but they do raise additional dollars through the communities, and that's fine if they want to spend their money that way, but we don't need to be having taxpayer dollars going to abortion, period. The end of that. And as a matter of fact, if you look at the Title X dollars, you'll see that they were set up for family planning. Abortion is not family planning.
222-8255. Teachers unions are on the attack again here in the state of Florida, even here locally, about going after the pro-school choice bill signed into law this past Sunday by Governor Rick Scott. Now, Roger Henderson, the Teachers Association has been all over the map of going after Republicans here in the state of Florida because this bill last year had to do with charter schools of getting more money when it comes to that of in the public school education funds here locally, about making sure that the money was divvied up properly. Also, should taxpayer dollars, which has always been an argument from teachers unions here in Florida and here locally, that should not be going as far as scholarships to fund even in low income people and in certain urban areas as well. But now, of course, with the school bully bill, about whether or not you should be able to send your child because they feel that there's not enough disciplinary actions, the new attack now inside this provision by the local teachers unions and by the state of Florida Teachers Association is that by sending taxpayer dollars to private school education, is, you ready for this, folks? The teacher does not have to have a college degree to work in a private school. Now, we took some calls earlier this morning. You brought up a very interesting point. That should be a great argument by public school traditional schools and by the public school education system that, hey, this private school, no, we're college degree. This means that your child should have a better education. The Florida Teachers Association says that one of the things that's not properly done in this bill is that there's not enough oversight or regulation when it comes to private schools. They sit back and say that you don't have to have a college degree if you want to teach at a private school. Bad or good?
Well, I think the litmus test should not be necessarily the qualification of the teacher, although that's a great thing. I think it should be the outcome of the students. How are the students faring on their standardized tests compared to the students in the class with the teacher with the master's degree? And if the students are doing well, then, hey, why do you want to fix something that's not broken?
So let me play devil's advocate. If you wanted to come out and say, hey, Duval County, the surrounding areas have a tremendous education system here. We have the finest looking buildings. We've got the greatest sports program going on. We're AAA or AA state champion in this sport here. We've got teachers with a master's degree. We've got a good amount of money being, of course, it's never a good amount, but as I said, I'm playing devil's advocate. We got a good amount of money being spent on our teachers. We got more union involvement. We got more money per education. And then over here, you've got a private school. There's about 2,000 here in Florida. You've got a private school where the teacher may not have a college degree. There isn't probably enough money being spent per student. You don't have union involvement. You don't have school safety. Maybe there's disciplinary actions. And yet, what is the argument that if the private schools are producing better grades, and yet over here you got more money going to the public education system, and they're not producing enough grades? That's a kind of an interesting debate about whether or not, then what is the breakdown? Is it the family? Is it that the teacher's not being? I just find it, I mean, again, I'm not trying to slam public school education teachers. Right. I'm just saying if there's more money being spent, you have more over here, but yet their biggest discussion, biggest debate is that, well, private schools, they're not regulated. The teachers don't have to have a college degree. Well, there you go. Is that the breakdown?
Well, here's the deal, Ed. Which student is more likely to go on in life to become a doctor, maybe an attorney, maybe an engineer? Someone who attended a private school that didn't necessarily have all the bells and whistles, or someone who attended public school metal detector high? And the fact of the matter is, a lot of times, students coming out of the private schools do very well in life for some reason. I happen to think the reason is the parents are a lot more involved in their children's education.
Several emails on this have come forward. Here's one from Michelle. She says, I agree with Roger, Ed. She says, I think a lot of it does start at the home. Here's one from Tiffany. She says, as a private school advocate, I do send one of mine to private school. The other one does go to public school. That's because she says our child now starts going to, the younger one starts going to a private school. She says, I got a great family. She goes, we go to church, things like that. But she goes, sometimes there is a breakdown, and I do blame the way the disciplinary actions take place in school. Here's one from Michael. Ed, how many excuses are Republicans going to give for public school students to go to a private school? That's a great question. How many reasons, if you don't like the school, period, why should you not be able to send your kid to that school? There we go. Here's one from Myra. She says, Ed, it's kind of like what you and Roger have said about going to the restaurant. You don't have to tell the manager whether or not you like the food or not. If you don't like it, you pay your bill, you leave, you don't come back.
Yeah.
222-TALK, 222-8255. This is Talk Radio WBOB.
And if you are on I-295 near Pritchard Road, an accident there on the Fuller Warren Bridge going south. We're looking at some backup. And 295 south at 103rd Street, a new accident into us this time. Sunny today and a high of 64 degrees. Clear this evening with a low of 42. Right now, 43 at WBOB.
Back to the Ed Dean Radio Show. Gallagher next, Prager at noon, Savage at 3, Levin at 6. Talk Radio, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. After a year-long investigation of Russian meddling in the 2016 election, a House Intelligence Committee ends their Republican investigation, concluding that there was no evidence of collusion, coordination, or conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russians. Democrats say they could support President Trump's infrastructure plan, and the way to pay for it would be repealing the Trump tax cuts. The Florida Teachers Union still upset about a school choice Florida education bill. The bill allows private schools to take government money, but those schools would still be free to hire teachers with no degree.
Contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM. Call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email Ed at WBOB.com.
All right, so the workfare to welfare bill that Bill Clinton signed into law, I'm going to give you a twofer here, make it a little bit easy. How many times was it proposed before he signed it into law in 1996? And how many years did it limit that you had to go out and find work? How about that one? So we'll give you a twofer there on that one. You got to get both of those correct. At 222-TALK, 222-8255. Texas Congressman Mike Conway was House Intelligence Committee says, well, we can't find any Russia collusion. This is the Republicans' version now. The Democrats disagree. But it goes a little bit further. He says, we can't find Russia collusion, not only on the Trump side, but he says, when it came to 2016, we couldn't find any on the Clinton side.
That's all that we've reached that point where we've interviewed all the folks we need to. We've looked at some 300,000 documents, 73 interviews that we've done across the course of the city, trying to answer the four questions that were originally set out for the committee to answer. Yes, the Russians tried to interfere with our election process. Yes, they had cyber attacks, active measures going on. We could find no evidence of collusion between either campaign and the Russians.
Now, did you hear what he said? He said by either campaign or the Russians. Yeah, that. So here's the question I want to ask you this morning. Is this just becoming a norm? One week they put out, Devin Nunes puts out a memo, Adam Schiff puts out a memo, Grassley, Lindsey Graham puts out a memo. This goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Is this a complete waste of time? Again, I asked the question, how is it you got evidence in front of you? One group looks at it another way. Another group looks at it this way as well. But the bottom line here is that, just you pay attention to me. The bottom line is they come out and say, hey, there's no collusion on both sides there. So when you hear that, Roger, remember, there's many of this radio show that believes that there was a collusion between the Hillary Clinton campaign with the dossier that was, with the use of Russian operatives, but nothing with the Trump. But you've got a Republican Intelligence Committee says, no, there was no collusion on both sides.
Yeah, I think people are going to be watching what David Mueller, the special prosecutor, is going to do more than anything
Robert
else.
Mueller, yeah.
Robert Mueller, yes.
Yeah. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Teachers without a college degree, should that be a prerequisite before they teach your kids? The Florida Teachers Association in Florida says this is one of the problems they have with private schools here in Florida with Governor Rick Scott's bill, that it does not require private school teachers to have a college degree. Do you feel more comfortable with that? And should schools be required for teachers to have a college degree? Want to know what you think. 222-TALK, 222-8255. David, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I was going to make a comment on teachers without a degree. Just that statement alone, they're already calling them teachers. So I think what it is they don't have a degree. They have a gift. And one of the gifts is without having union involvement. So teachers without a degree pretty much testifies that they're already teachers, so they must be qualified. And I believe those are those ones that have gifts.
You know, I think that's kind of interesting. The gift without having the union, that would be a good gift for students out there. But yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, either certification and things of that case. But I mean, David, there's an interesting argument that with all the amount of money we have for teacher continuing education and things like that, and still, when you look at a lot of the schools here in the state of Florida, they just can't produce what they used to produce as far as graduation rates.
Well, Ed, my wife is a teacher, and I'll just give you a testimony. She has praised, a great teacher has praises from the parents of the students that they teach. They send them gifts. They thank them. They see the progress of their child. That's something you don't teach. That's something it's a gift. A teacher does have to know the fundamentals about their curriculum, what they're teaching. But you could ask the testimony of any kid that wants to give a progress report of what they think a good teacher is, and they're going to give you that they love their teacher. They miss them when they're on vacation. They give them hugs when they come back to school. My wife teaches kids in my neighborhood when she's not teaching at school. It's a gift, Ed. It really is.
All right. Appreciate the call. Breaking news. So I'm looking at Drudge right now. So Tillerson's fired?
Yeah, I just got the breaking news alert on my phone as well. Secretary of State Tillerson looks like he's been let go by President Trump. And it looks like we're going to be looking for a new Secretary of State.
Oh, my word. What is going on here, man?
The White House. What is going on?
You know, how many, you know, remember when Jeff Sessions... And I understand that, you know, both sides don't like Sessions, you know, because he's from Alabama, he's automatically a racist. Remember that? We heard that. So anyway, and then you've got some of those, the big supporters of President Trump that believe that he should be fired. Then, of course, you had other conservatives that also felt that if they were going to fire, you know, Sessions is not moving quick enough on investigations. Well, maybe he's doing too much. Maybe he's trying to clean the swamp in the Department of Justice and the FBI. Maybe he's not able to handle it together. Maybe he's going against some of those in the swamp, some may ask. But remember when they were talking about firing him, mm-hmm. letting him go, that some of the conservatives, and I'm not talking about Never Trumpers, I'm talking about conservatives were in an outrage saying, don't let this happen.
Trump was criticizing him a lot.
Yeah, publicly. And, you know, it makes you wonder that, you know, it's kind of like if, for those of you that are married, that you never embarrass your wife in front of people. If you have a disagreement, you do it behind closed doors because you don't want to tick her off. You,
exactly. You've heard that. But the wife can embarrass your husband. That's a different thing.
That's okay. Okay. But anyway, that's okay. So, but what I'm saying is, so me too. I've been embarrassed. You know, you've been embarrassed. We all been. Yeah. But what I'm saying is that Tillerson being fired here, and is there been a legitimate excuse? And I just wonder, is there going to be time where some people may just break away from the Trump campaign or the Trump crowd and say, hey, this just isn't resonating with a lot of people out there?
This is very interesting. And the thing about it, this is not unusual. Wow, Secretary of State. A lot of very high-ranking Trump officials have been let go or quit since he became president. Record numbers, in my opinion.
There was another illegal alien that had a hit and run in a sanctuary city, and we're setting this story up here in a sanctuary city out of Denver, Colorado, where there was a hit and run by a felon. And after this incident, Democrats now are advocating that because the system is broken, then maybe we need to eliminate the agency of immigration, customs, and enforcement. Here was Tucker Carlson tonight.
Police say that Ivan Zamaripa Castaneda killed a truck driver in a hit and run. Federal law enforcement wanted him held in custody. But thanks to Denver sanctuary city policies, authorities there refused. They did not hold him. They let him go. ICE asked the Denver Sheriff's Office for notice if Zamaripa Castaneda was going to be released, but deputies in Denver refused. After he posted a $25,000 bond, Zamaripa Castaneda was released at about 5:30 p.m. on Saturday evening. ICE was not notified for more than an hour, and by that time, he was gone.
So if there's a breakdown, they're advocating that maybe we should abolish immigration, customs, and enforcement. Here was this report on Fox News. The Nation magazine says this should be a big issue for 2020 for Democrats running against Trump.
The left-leaning publication, The Nation, making a bold statement by publishing this headline a couple of days ago. It's time to abolish ICE. MSNBC host Chris Hayes tweeting out the article, writing, "This is a growing position on the left, and I imagine 2020 Democratic presidential aspirants will have to grapple with it." So is this really what Democrats should run on in 2020?
Some of the emails coming in this morning. Roger, would you want a doctor without a credible medical school education?
Absolutely not. And in my support of the private schools who don't necessarily have all their teachers with degrees, I supported earlier in the show, let them earn their degree part-time while they're teaching school.
Why not?
As long as they're working.
Now, what about higher up like a principal? Should they have a degree? I mean, sometimes a higher up in a business, if they're running like the CFO or a CEO or COO, they may have to be required as a college degree by the board of directors. But for lesser levels, and I'm not diminishing that, should they need a college education?
In my opinion, this is the education business. They should be educated. Yeah.
Some people have been weighing on this issue. We'll get to those emails coming up next. 55 minutes after the hour. Talk radio WBOB.
And if you're on the roads, we're seeing a lot of backup right now at 295 South at Monument Road. And we're seeing a crash this morning in St. Johns County North at around mile marker 327. Sunny today with a high of 64 degrees. This evening will be clear with a low of 42, and right now 43 at WBOB.
All right, Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is out. I'm dying to hear the reasons why.
This is reminding me of the TV show The Apprentice. Rex, you're fired.
You're fired. I don't know what's more exciting, The Apprentice. I never watched mostly The Apprentice. I just watched like the last 10 minutes. I just like watching people getting fired. It's like American Idol. I don't give a flip about watching American Idol, except people saying, "You stink, go home." I like seeing people turn down because you know why? They all think they're great, but because it makes them much stronger. That way they come back and become more successful.
Okay.
Don't mind rejection. I take a no as good as a yes. All right. Thanks so much for tuning in. You can always email me, ed@wbob.com. ed@wbob.com. Thankful to God every day for the show. Thankful to you again. Don't forget, download the app. Go to wbob.com. Listen to us online anywhere you would like. We'll be ready to go tomorrow morning. As we are set and ready to go, and more of Win Ed Dean's Money right here on FM 101.1 AM 600 Talk Radio WBOB.